الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، our previous class, we're reading what the author he mentioned, رحمه الله تعالى, with regards to الشرك and the associating partners with Allah سبحانه وتعالى in worship. We have seen that the author clarified that ash-shirk is to associate partners with Allah in worship, and it is two types, ash-shirk al-akbar and ash-shirk al-asghar, the major shirk and the minor shirk. So the major shirk, it takes a person out of the religion of al-Islam. The minor shirk, it does not take a person out of the religion of al-Islam. Ash-shirk al-akbar and ash-shirk al-asghar. Ash-shirk al-akbar, the definition the people of knowledge they mention, جَعْلُ شَيْءٍ مِنْ حُقُوقِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى لِغَيْرِهِ مِمَّا يَتَعَلَّقُ بِأَصْلِ التَّوْحِيدِ, to give some of the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal to other than Him from that which is related to the foundation of al-Tawheed. And ash-shirk al-asghar, هُوَ جَعْلُ شَيْءٍ مِنْ حُقُوقِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى لِغَيْرِهِ مِمَّا يَتَعَلَّقُ بِ كمال التوحيد الواجب, مما يتعلق به كمال التوحيد الواجب, to give some of the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to other than Him with regards to that which is related to the completion of the obligation of a tawheed, to the completion of the obligation of a tawheed. So in our previous class, we were reading the question the author he mentioned, rahimahullah, ما هو الشرك الأصغر, what is the minor shirk? So he mentioned, rahimahullah, هو يسير الرياء الداخل في تحسين العمل المراد به الله تعالى. هو يسير الرياء الداخل في تحسين العمل المراد به الله المراد به الله تعالى. قال الله تعالى, فمن كان يرجو لقاء ربه فليعمل عملا صالحا ولا يشرك بعبادة ربه أحدا. It is the subtle form of showing off, and he wanted to be seen, entering into an act of worship which is intended for the sake of Allah alone initially, and then beautifying that, and for a person, beautifying that for the praise of the people. So initially, a shirk al-asghar is an action that is performed for the sake of Allah alone, and then during the action, the intention changes, and a person, instead of seeking the face and the pleasure of Allah and doing it hoping for the reward of Allah, he begins to hope that someone will see him and praise him. He begins to hope that someone will see him and praise him or like him or think good of him or say good of him because of the action of worship that he's performing. So he'll begin to perform it in a better manner, in a better manner that he was performing it before, and then with hopes that that person will praise him or like him or think good or say good about him in this manner. So the evidence for this, the author, he says, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُوا لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا, that whoever hopes for the meeting of his Lord, then let him work righteous deeds, and he according to the law and legislation prescribed in the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and not associate anyone in partners whatsoever in the worship of his Lord, meaning making the worship sincerely and purely for the sake of Allah. So those who are truly hoping for the meeting of Allah, then they will perform their actions in this manner, sincerely for the sake of Allah. Their hope is directed to Allah. They're hoping for acceptance with Allah, and they're hoping for the mercy and the pleasure of Allah, not the pleasure of the people or anything with the people whatsoever. Rather, they have purified their intention and made it sincerely and wholeheartedly for the sake of Allah. The author, he says, وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أخوف ما أخاف عليكم الشرك الأصغر فسئل عنه فقال الرياء ثم فسره بقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقوم الرجل فيصلي فيزين صلاته لما يرى من نظر رجل إليه. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, the thing I fear most for you is minor shirk. The thing I fear most for you is minor shirk. He was asked about that صلى الله عليه وسلم, and he said, it's showing off. And what is minor shirk? The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, الرياء, showing off, and he doing actions of the hereafter, hoping to be seen by the people in this life and praised for that, and praised for that. Then he explained, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying, a man stands to pray and beautifies his prayer whenever he sees another man looking at him. whenever he sees another man looking at him. So the author, he's mentioning here these narrations, or these two narrations, as if they are one narration. Allah knows best, there are two narrations here. The first portion is collected by Al-Imam ibn Majah, rahimahullahu ta'ala, from the hadith of Abi Sa'id al-Khudri, radiyallahu anhu, that he said, خَرَجَ عَلَيْنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمُ وَنَحْنُ نَتَذَاكَرُ الْمَسِيحَ الدَّجَّالِ وَنَحْنُ نَتَذَاكَرُ الْمَسِيحَ الدَّجَّالِ. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he came out to us one day while we were reviewing and discussing together about the issues related to al-Masih al-Dajjal. And the Sahaba, some of them, radiyallahu anhum, they're sitting in the gathering and they're reviewing knowledge specifically about the issues related to al-Masih al-Dajjal. And we know that this is from the greatest fitan that will befall the people, the Masih al-Dajjal. He will be given abilities that will lead many of mankind astray, believing that he is Allah and that he has lordship and the likes like this. And many people will be tried by him and his fitan, waliyadu billah. So they're discussing the affairs of this major fitan that will occur. They're discussing these affairs of this major fitan that will occur in the end of times. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to them upon this discussion. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, ala ukhbirukum. ألا أخبركم بما هو أخوف عليكم عندي بما هو أخوف عليكم عندي من المسيح الدجال. Should I not inform you of something that's more, that I fear more for you than even the مسيح الدجال? قال قلنا بلى. So he said, رضي الله عنه, that we said, of course, on Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. فقال الشرك الخفي. الشرك الخفي, the hidden shirk. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he says, now the hidden shirk. The hidden shirk, الشرك الخفي. And then he said, صلى الله عليه وسلم, أن يقوم الرجل يصلي فيزين صلاته لما يرى من نظر الرجل. That a man, he will stand for the prayer and then he will beautify and perform his prayer in a better manner because he sees the man looking at him. Because he sees the man looking at him. So this is what the author is referring to here. As for the second part, or the end of the portion that the author has mentioned here, rahimahullah, this has been collected by Imam Ahmed from the narration of Mahmud ibn Labid, radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Inna akhwafa ma akhafu alaykum, ash-shirku al-asghar. Inna akhwafa ma akhafu alaykum, ash-shirku al-asghar. That indeed the thing that I fear most for you, speaking to his ummah and directly to the Sahaba, radiyallahu anhum, is the minor shirk. Is the minor shirk. قالوا وما الشرك الأصغر يا رسول الله. So it's time to ask. This is a good question to ask, no doubt about that. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, the thing that I fear most for you, the thing that I fear most for you is the minor shirk. So they said, what is the minor shirk? What is the minor shirk, O Prophet of Allah, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? قال الرياء. قال الرياء. He said sallallahu alayhi wasallam, showing off. Showing off. يقول الله عز وجل لهم يوم القيامة. Allah will say to them, and those people who used to show off in this worldly life, He will say to them on the day of resurrection. He will say to them on the day of resurrection, إذا جزي الناس بأعمالهم. Whenever the people that have been recompensed for their deeds, and after the people that have received the reward for their actions, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will say to those people who used to show off in their worship, اذهبوا إلى الذين كنتم تراؤون في الدنيا فانظروا هل تجدون جزاء. Go to those people whom you used to show off for in the worldly life and see if you find any reward. And see if you find any reward. So this is a great humiliation. The people, they have all been recompensed. These people here, they're still waiting for their reward that they're expecting for the righteous and good deeds that they did preparing for the hereafter. But in reality, their hearts were corrupted and they're not preparing for the hereafter, rather they were hoping something from the worldly life. So they will be delayed in their recompense. And when after the people get their reward, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will address them and say in this man, اذهبوا إلى الذين كنتم تراؤون في الدنيا. Go to those whom you used to show off for in this worldly life. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ. In disgrace. In disgrace. فَانْظُرُوا هَلْ تَجْلِدُونَ جَزَاءً. Go look and see if you find any recompense with them. Go see if there's any rewards that you will get, that you will get from them. So this is a clarification of the dangers of these affairs. And this is what the author is referring to here, rahimahullah ta'ala, that the minor sheikh is showing off. The minor sheikh is showing off, but he's clarifying what a number of the people of knowledge have mentioned, that it's the showing off, any in a light manner. Because if it occurs in a major manner, it will move from being minor shirk into becoming major shirk. The showing off of the hypocrites, those who are showing off any from the beginning to the end, and they're only performing those deeds any to be seen, with no faith in their heart whatsoever, not whatsoever, with no faith in their heart whatsoever. So this is a lowly way. The person who performs deeds of the hereafter, but his heart is attached to the dunya. That a person who performs deeds of the hereafter, while his heart is attached to the dunya, and he's hoping for a worldly gain because of that. And he's hoping for a worldly gain because of that. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ سُفْيَانَ الثَّوْرِ He mentioned, رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ إِنَّ أَكْبَحَ الرَّقْبَ أَن تُطْلَبَ الدُّنْيَا بِأَمَلِ الْآخِرَةِ That indeed the most disgusting desire that could come up in the heart of a person is that when he would seek the worldly life. That he will seek their worldly life by the deeds of the hereafter. This is showing off. This is showing off. And from that is showing off. He'll do these righteous deeds. He'll do these righteous deeds. But what he wants from that is position or status and rank in the hearts of the people. His position, status, or rank in the hearts of the people. To have authority over them and the likes like this. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ So all of this is a lowly way. All of this is a lowly way. The author says, وَمِنْ ذَلِكَ الْحَدِفُ بِغَدِ اللَّهِ كَالْحَدِفِ بِالْآبَاءِ وَالْأَنْدَادِ وَالْكَعْبَةِ وَالْأَمَانِكِ وَغَيْرِهَا And also from that as well, yani from the minor shirk, is to swear by other than Allah. To swear by other than Allah. Or like swearing by the fathers, or by the idols, or by the Kaaba, or by the trust, the amana, or other than that. Swearing by the mother, swearing by the fathers, swearing by one's life, swearing by anything besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of this is included. It's considered initially to be minor shirk. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تحلفوا بآبائكم ولا بأمهاتكم ولا بالأنداد. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he said, do not swear by your fathers, nor your mothers, nor by the idols. The أنداد يعني الآلهة. الأنداد يعني الآلهة. الإسلام والجذب بالله. Do not swear by your fathers. Do not swear by your mothers, and do not swear by the أنداد. This narration here is collected by Abu Dawood, and likewise in Nasa'i from the Hadith of Abi Hurayrah radiyallahu anhu. And in that narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, continuing, وَلَا تَحْلِفُ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ And do not swear except by Allah. Do not swear by your fathers, nor your mothers, nor the undead, neither idols. And do not swear by anyone except for Allah. وَلَا تَحْلِفُ بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ صَادِقُونَ And do not swear by Allah except while you're truthful. And do not swear by Allah except while you are truthful. So among the examples of minor shirk is swearing by other than Allah, such as swearing by one's fathers, or the idols, or the Kaaba, or by the amana, trustworthiness, and so on. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, do not swear by your fathers, nor your mothers, nor by the false gods. And do not swear except by Allah. And do not swear by Allah except while you are truthful. Except while you are truthful. وَقَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمُ لَا تَقُولُوا وَالْكَعْبَ وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا وَرَبِّ الْكَعْبَ And do not say by the Kaaba, and I swear by the Kaaba. But you should say, I swear by the Lord of the Kaaba. By the Lord of the Kaaba. So this is the methodology and correctness of here. Some people, their tongues have been accustomed to saying the likes of these words, what a Kaaba, what a Kaaba. They swear by the Kaaba in this manner. So it's this swearing, this hadith, it comes off their tongue easily like that. What Kaaba? They swear by the Kaaba often. Or even some of them likewise they swear by the Prophet. What Nabi? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he directed the people and correcting them to that which would be most easy and facilitated. To that which will be most easy and facilitated for them. By using the same terms that they're accustomed to, but correcting the wording in the proper manner. So instead of saying wal Kaaba, the Prophet said wa rabbil Kaaba. You don't swear by the Kaaba, rather you swear by the Lord of the Kaaba. So it makes it easier for this person who's accustomed to saying this term or saying this word in this manner to fix that and to correct that and to say that which is proper, to swear by only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, with regards to the Prophet, one Nabi. So you tell him, you say, that's not allowed. Hadha shirkun asghar. It's not allowed to swear by anyone except for Allah. وَلَا تَحْلِفُوا إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ لَا تَحْلِفُوا إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ يعني, وَمَنْ كَانَ حَادِفٍ فَلْيَحْلِفْ بِاللَّهِ Only yeskut. Whoever is going to swear, then they have to swear by Allah and be silent. Just come. And from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you don't say what Nabi, you say what? Wa Rabbi Nabi. Wa Rabbi Nabi. I swear by the Lord of the Prophet. Shaykhana Shaykh Abdul Razak, hafidhullah, he mentioned yani, a story with regards to this. And it is to clarify how difficult it is sometimes to correct the tongue once it's been accustomed to saying something. So he mentioned the story of a person who used to swear by the Prophet in this manner, one Nabi. He's accustomed to that. And then whenever he's shown the right way and clarified this ruling, he understands and he clearly realizes his mistake. And in repenting from that, he says, one Nabi, I'll never say one Nabi again. You know, one Nabi, I'll never say one Nabi again. And he can't help but saying it. And he wants to stop doing it. But even in that, he made the same mistake because his tongue is so used to saying this word. And so they told him, don't say one Nabi, say one Rabbi Nabi. He said, one Nabi, I'm not ever going to say one Nabi again. Like this, and in this manner, like this, clarifying that the tongue, sometimes it gets accustomed to saying things and it's hard to free it. It's hard to free it. But those who are sincere and those who are truthful, they can rectify their tongue. They can free their tongue from these affairs, especially if they fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many people before Islam, they used to have foul and lowly tongues? And they used to say the worst of words, waliyadu billah. If something bad happens or something, or they hurt themselves, for example, or they trip or stumble, maybe they're cursed and say the loudest and the worst, the most filthy words, waliyadu billah. And now whenever those problems happen, they say, subhanallah. Or they say, alhamdulillah. Or they say, la ilaha illallah. And like this, because they have left that for the sake of Allah. So likewise, swearing here, you have to leave that for the sake of Allah. Somebody who is swearing by something from the dunya, swearing by himself, swearing by his life, swearing by his father, swearing by his mother, swearing by the trust, so on and so forth. All of this is forbidden, not allowed. All of this is forbidden and not allowed. And it's from a foul and lowly way. A foul and lowly way. And this is because whenever a person swears, he's glorifying. He's glorifying. He wants to emphasize that he's truthful. He wants to emphasize that he's truthful. That's why he's swearing in the first place. He wants to emphasize that he's truthful or that he's serious, and therefore he will swear. So in doing that, he needs to bring something that he honors and glorifies to clarify that he's telling the truth, or that he's serious about his words, or that he's serious about his words. So therefore, it's not allowed to swear except by Allah, because no one and nothing should be greater than Allah in the heart of a believer. So therefore, it's only allowed to swear by Allah if you want to bring something great. With greatness and authority, you need to clarify that you're serious and that you're certain or truthful, then you must only swear by Allah. Swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whenever someone swears by his life or swears by his mother or swears by his father or swears by the amana, he puts that on his life or your life or the likes like this, this is any all violating this right here. Violating this right here. Although we see that the ruling here is related to Kamal al-Tawheed al-Wajib, the completion of the Tawheed, the obligatory Tawheed. So the one who does that does not invalidate his faith because he's only saying that statement to emphasize what he's saying. And in his heart, he doesn't truly magnify the one he's swearing by more than Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the origin. This is the origin. As for in the case, if there was this a situation, someone who in his heart is glorifying or magnifying the creation besides Allah, the one he's swearing by, like the Wali, for example, greater than the same or greater than the way that he magnifies or glorifies Allah, then this will turn now into major shirk, like those people who swear by the awliya, or they swear by their graves and the like scientists. And it's been witnessed that one of them, if he swears by Allah, he will swear by Allah often while he's lying. And the people that have learned this from his manners, that he will swear by Allah lying, and it's easy for him. And if they want to catch him in a lie, which in itself is not lawful and it's not allowed and it's not something to do, but they will do that, these people here. They will tell him to swear by the wadi, which is not allowed to tell him to swear by the wadi. But they do this, and he will not swear by the wadi. He will not swear by the wadi whenever he's lying. So they know he's lying. They know he's lying. How do they catch him in a lie? If you tell him, wallahi, 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 I didn't do it. Wallahi, I don't owe you nothing. Wallahi, I already paid you. Wallahi, it's not me. Like this, and they swear by the wali, and he'll be silent. He'll get scared. He'll get scared, and he'll think twice, and he will not do it. And they'll catch him in a lie in this manner. So this person here is now magnifying the creation besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the manner deserving for Allah alone are greater, or even greater, wali yadu billah. So now it changes from being minor shirk to major shirk. But the origin is that it is, minor shirk. That it is minor shirk. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, وَقَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لَا تَحْلِفُ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. This is the narration that we discussed. Do not swear except by Allah. وَقَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَنْ حَلَفَ بِالْأَمَانَ فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا. And whoever swears by al-amana, by the trust, he's not from us. He's not from us. This is also collected by Abu Dawood and also Imam Ahmed from the hadith of Buraydah ibn al-Husayb radiyallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Man halafa bil amana falaysa minna. Whoever swears by al-amana, then he's not from us. وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم من حلف بغير الله فقد كفر أو أشرك. وفي رواية وأشرك. And he mentioned sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that whoever swears by other than Allah, then indeed he has disbelieved or committed shirk. And in one narration, and committed shirk. And in this narration here is from the narration of Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, as collected by Abu Dawood and Tirmidhi, and likewise at Imam Ahmed. Here, yani man halafa bi ghayri llahi faqad kafara aw ashraka. Whoever swears by other than Allah, he has disbelieved or committed shirk. In one wording by Imam Ahmed, فَقَدْ كَفَرَ وَأَشْرَكَ. Then he has disbelieved and committed shirk. It's come, the wording in Sunan Abi Dawood from the hadith of Sa'd ibn Ubaidah, rahimahullah, أَنَّ ibn Umar سَمِعَ رَجُلًا يَحْدِفُ. That Ibn Umar, he heard a man swearing, وَالْكَعْبَ. He's saying it like that. Well, Kaaba, I swear by the Kaaba. I swear by the Kaaba. فَقَالَ اللَّهُ بِنُ عُمَرَ رضي الله عنهما. So Ibn Umar, he said to him, رضي الله عنهما, إِنِّي سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ مَنْ حَلَفَ بِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ أَشْرَكَ. فَقَدْ أَشْرَكَ. And he cleared that. I heard the messenger of Allah, صلى الله عليه وسلم, saying that whoever swears by other than Allah, then indeed he has committed shirk. So again, this is considered minor shirk. وَمِنْهُ قَوْلُهُ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ وَشِتَّ وَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لِلَّذِي قَالَ ذَلِكَ أَجْعَلْتَنِي لِلَّهِ نِدًّا بَلْ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ. And also from it as well, and from the minor shirk. From the minor shirk is the statement of the one who says, مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ وَشِتَّ. Whatever Allah wills and whatever you will. Whatever Allah wills and whatever you will. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to the one who said that to him, are you making me a rival with Allah? Rather, whatever Allah wills alone. And this is also connected by Imam Ahmed from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas. And radiyallahu anhuma, anna rajulan qala lin-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma sha Allahu wa shi'ta. From the narration of Abdullah ibn Abbas and radiyallahu anhuma, that a man, he said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whatever Allah wills and whatever you will. Ma sha Allahu wa shi'ta. Ma sha Allahu wa shi'ta. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to him this statement, aj'altani wallaha idlan, aj'altani wallaha idlan bal ma sha Allahu wahda. Have you made me and Allah equals? Are you making me and Allah equals? Aj'altani wallaha idlan, are you making me and Allah equals? بَلْ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ وَحْدًا. Rather, whatever Allah wills alone. In another wording in the Al-Musnad, جَعَلْتَنِي لِلَّهِ idlan. جَعَلْتَنِي, he didn't ask a question. He's telling him, جَعَلْتَنِي لِلَّهِ idlan. You have made me an equal with Allah. You have made me equal with Allah. بَلْ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ وَحْدًا. Rather, whatever Allah wills alone. So this person here, likewise, he doesn't intend that. What he's saying, he didn't realize the gravity. Why is he saying this? Why did he say this to the Prophet? Masha Allahu wa shi'ta. Whatever you will and whatever Allah wills, O Prophet of Allah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is his intent from that? Huh? Does he believe that the will of the Prophet is equal to the will of Allah? This is not his creed. And Allah knows best. What is the issue? Huh? Honoring him, loving him, out of respect for him, right? But if love and respect and honor is not checked by the reins of the legislation, it will lead a person astray. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he corrected this sefer very, very, very diligently. جَعَلْتَنِي لِلَّهِ إِدْلَى. You have made me equals with Allah. So this is not allowed. The statement here, likewise, is not allowed. And it's from the shirkun fil alfaz, from the shirk that occurs in the terms and the words that the people use. So even if a person He intended good. Intended good. We wouldn't say that we look at you and we if you, for example, if you correct him, he said, "Oh no, I didn't intend that. I didn't intend that." We say, "Alhamdulillah," because if you had intended that, the affair would have been much more severe. Alhamdulillah, you didn't intend that. But this is not an excuse for you. You can't say that. You can't say that. You can't say the likes of these terms. These terms that have bad meanings, that have conflict or contradiction with regards to the creed. It's not allowed to say them. Even if a person he claimed he didn't mean that. Even if a person he claimed he didn't mean that. We said, Alhamdulillah, you didn't mean that. Because if you meant that, or if you believe that, the issue would be much more severe. The issue will be much more severe. The legislation has come to purify the creed. To purify the creed. And likewise, to purify the worship, and to purify the manners and conduct, and also to purify the tongue. To purify the tongue from these lowly statements, or these statements that are in contradiction to that tawheed. So even if a person, he did not mean that in his heart, it's still not allowed for him to say the likes of these words. It's still not allowed for him to say the likes of these words. And they must be corrected. They must be corrected, and they must not have any issue with regards to the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمِنْهُمْ قَوْلُ لَوْلَا اللَّهُ وَأَنْتَ وَمَا لِي إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَنْتَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَنْتَ وَأَنَا الدَّاخِلٌ عَلَى اللَّهِ وَعَلَيْكَ وَنَحْوَ ذَلِكَ. And from it as well, any from the shirk al-asghar, the shirk fil al-alfaz, shirkun fil al-alfaz, and his minor shirk, which is from the statements that are the statements that are considered shirk, whenever one he would say, were it not for Allah and you, had it not been for Allah and you, I would have been this or been that. I would have been this or been that. Had it not been for Allah and you, I would have been this or would have been that. Or that one he would say, I have no one but Allah. I have no one but Allah and you. No, I have no one but Allah and you. This likewise is not allowed. This likewise is not allowed because of what it indicates from making equals with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this affair of protection and authority and command and seeking refuge. And likewise, whenever one he says, I seek refuge with Allah and you, I seek refuge with Allah and you, and the likes of these words, the author he says, قال صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تقولوا ما شاء الله وشاء فلان ولكن قولوا ما شاء الله ثم شاء فلان. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he said, do not say what Allah and so and so will, you know, what Allah and so and so wills, but say rather what Allah will then what so and so will. And instead of saying and, you say then. In the Arabic language, instead of using the waw, use thumma. So these are huruf, any huruf al-ma'ani, huruf al-ma'ani. These are particles of speech, and they have meanings. They have meanings. And waw, the meaning of waw is different than the meaning of thumma. So waw, haruf al-waw, any al-waw, tufidu mutlaq al-jama'. Al-waw, it indicates any that the things are being gathered together. They're being gathered together. They're mentioned together, or they're equal in the life scientists. But thumma, it has a similar meaning. But it thumma tufidu a tartib, a tarakh. It indicates like there's an order, an arrangement, order and arrangement. So whenever you use thumma, it's clear that the will of Allah and the will of the person is different. That the will of the person is coming after the will of Allah. But whenever you use wow, it doesn't indicate that. Rather, they're equal. So this is where the mistake is, saying whatever Allah wills and whatever you will. La, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whatever Allah wills, then, and after that, then, and following that, whatever you will, whatever you will. So this is the clarification again of the purity in words. And a person, he must be precise in his speech and the choice of words that he uses, not to violate the rights of at-tawheed in any manner, even if he didn't intend that. Even if he didn't intend that. قال أهل العلم ويجوز لولا الله ثم فلان ولا يجوز لولا الله وفلان. The scholars, they said, it is permissible to say, were it not for Allah, then so and so, but it is not permissible to say, were it not for Allah and so and so, and so and so. So it's allowed to say that. لولا الله ثم فلان. أو ما شاء الله ثم هاشتة ثم, like this is allowed, but it's better to avoid that in entirety. Although it's allowed, it's not preferred or best. Rather, what's best is to say لولا الله, لولا الله, لولا الله, لوحده, to say ما شاء الله wahda, like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught. So the other wording, to use thumma, is allowed, but it's better to not even use that. But it's better to not even use that. As you just mentioned, lawla Allah, la kana kada wa kada. I'll say, Masha Allah, any wahda, alone, like this, without using thumma and mentioning any a person, so on and so forth. Although using thumma and then mentioning a person in this manner, like he's saying here, is considered lawful. It's considered lawful. So these evidences here that the author is referring to, many of them, they're from any different narrations. And we have one narration here which is collected by al-Imam al-Nisa'i rahimahullah from the hadith of Qutaylah. فَإِمْرَأَةُ مِنْ جُهَيْنَةٍ إِمْرَأَةُ مِنْ جُهَيْنَةٍ قُتَيْلَةٍ جُهَانِيَةٍ يعني قُتَيْلَةٍ بن صَيْفِيٍ الْجُهَانِيَةِ رضي الله عنها. She says, إِنَّ يَهُودِيًا أَتَى النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال إِنَّكُمْ تُنَدِّدُونَ وَإِنَّكُمْ تُشْرِكُونَ تَقُولُ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ وَشِئْتَ وَتَقُولُونَ وَالْكَعْبَةِ. So it's narrated by Qutaylah, a woman from Juhayna, in the tribe of Juhayna, that a Jewish man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, you all commit tandeed. You all commit tandeed, tunaddidun. And tattakhiduna andadan. Tattakhiduna andadan. You all are taking rivals. And you're referring to some of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And you commit shirk. Wa innakum tushrikun. And you commit shirk. And then he says, in clarification, the Yahudi. He says, you say what Allah wills and what you will. And you say, by the Kaaba. And he has to swear by the Kaaba. So here, even this Jewish man, he was aware that this is considered shirk. And this Jewish man, and the law that he was familiar with, the legislation that he had learned from the Torah, he's aware that these are aspects of shirk. And he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, informing him of this affair. فَأَمَرَهُمَ النَّبِي sallallahu alaihi wasallam إِذَا أَرَادُوا أَنْ يَحْلِفُوا أَنْ يَقُولُوا وَرَبِّ الْكَعْبَةِ وَيَقُولُونَ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ شِئْتَ رَوَهُ النِّسَائِ. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upon hearing this, and that some of the people, they were saying this, he ordered them that whenever they liked to swear, whenever they wanted to swear, that they should say by the Lord of the Kaaba, by the Lord of the Kaaba, instead of saying what they were saying, what Kaaba, to say by the Lord of the Kaaba, wa Rabbil Kaaba. And likewise that whenever one says ma shaa Allahu thumma shi'ta, that you say whatever Allah wills, then what you will. And he correcting the statement that they had. And this is the permissible way of saying that which they had fought in the air to with regards to, that which this Jewish person is blaming them for. So this is from the evidences also with regards to this topic. But there's an extra benefit here. And from that is what has been mentioned by Sheikh Muhammad ibn Ali ibn Adam in Ethiopia, rahimahullahu ta'ala, and his explanation of Sunan al-Nasa'i. In his explanation of Sunan al-Nasa'i, it's called Dhakhirat al-Uqbah fi sharhi al-Mustabah. Fi sharhi al-Mustabah. So he mentioned, rahimahullah, from the benefits of this narration here specifically, in al-Shaykh b'Shaykh Yudhkar. He says, Anna ala talib al-haq wa mutabi'i al-sawab an ya'khudha al-haqqa aynama wajadahu walau kana inda ghayri ahlihi kama yuqal wal-hikmatu dhalatu al-mu'min aynama wajadaha akhadaha. فلا يمنع الإنسان الدعوة الشخصية أو الدينية أو غيرها من قبول الحق والإذعان له كيفما كان. Among the benefits of this narration, that it is upon the true seeker of truth. That it is upon the true seeker of truth. And a person who is truly after the truth, seeking the truth sincerely, and the follower, and the one who follows what is correct and sound, to take the truth from wherever he finds it. To accept the truth from wherever he finds it. Even if it is with those unworthy of it, and even if it is with any those unworthy of it, as it is said, wisdom and hikmah is the lost property of the believer. Dhalatul mu'min is something that's lost. Whenever he finds it, he picks it up. The dhalla is something that's missing. Whenever you find it, you pick it up. You pick it up. So this is with regards to the believer. The dhalla, and what he's looking for, what he's after, is the wisdom, which is the haq. So he says, wherever he finds it, wisdom is like the lost property of the believer. Wherever he finds it, he picks it up and takes it. A person must not allow personal enmity. This is the point that we want to make. A person must not allow personal enmity or religious enmity or other causes to prevent him from accepting the truth and submitting to it, however it may come. So the truth, whenever it comes, regardless of who or where or how it comes, it's accepted. Once it's verified and clarified, it's the truth, it's accepted regardless of who brought it. And regardless of how it comes, regardless of who brought it, and regardless of how it comes, if it's sahak, it's maqbool. It is accepted. It's accepted. And this is what a believer is looking for in the first place. So the Shaykh, he said, rahimahullah, وَهَذَا هُوَ الْمُصِيبَةَ الطَّامَّ عِنْدَ الْعَوَامِ فَإِنَّهُمْ لَا يَتَلَقَوْنَ الْحَقَّ إِلَّا عِنْدَ مَنْ يَعْتَقِدُونَهُ وَلَوْ أَتَاهُمْ غَيْرُهُ بِالْحَقِّ الْوَاضِحِ لَا يَقْبَلُونَهُ بَلْ يَرُدُّونَهُ فَقَوْلُ مَنْ يَعْتَقِدُونَهُ قَالَ الشَّيْخُ الْفُلَانِي أَحَبُّ إِلَيْهِمْ مِنْ قَوْلِ مَنْ لَا يَعْتَقِدُونَهُ قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَقَالَ رَسُولُهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. This is the great calamity among the laymen. They do not accept the truth except from those whom they regard it, and as religious authorities. And if someone else brings them the clear truth, and if someone else brings them the clear truth, they do not accept it, but rather they reject it. The statement of the one whom they regard any as high, and they consider to be any qualified, and the likes, they say, Sheikh so-and-so said this and said that. Sheikh so-and-so said this and said that. This is more beloved to them than the statement of the one that they do not regard any in the same manner. Allah said, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said. They look at the people. So even if someone, he brought the truth clearly from the book of Allah or from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it's clear, and it's direct, and it's indication, then many of the people, because of this foul and lowly and misunderstood tarbiyah, cultivation upon blind following the statements of the people and the likes like this, they will prefer the statement of the Shaykh and the one that they follow absolutely over the statement of Allah and His Messenger, because it didn't come from their people. And likewise, this is from the ways of al-Jahiliyyah. We have seen that. And from the ways of the Jews. وَلَا تُؤْمِنُوا إِلَّا لِمَنْ تَبِعَ دِينَكُمْ. Do not believe except in those, the ones who follow your religion. So the truth is accepted wherever it comes from, alhamdulillah. Once it's verified and clarified as the haq, then it's accepted, and the person will be pleased with it, regardless of who brought it or how it came. But we have seen before a number of times, alhamdulillah, there's a difference between accepting the truth whenever it comes. There's a difference between accepting the truth whenever it comes and searching for the truth. So a person who will only go and look for the truth and learn the truth from the people of truth. He will not go to the people of deviation, misguidance, or innovation to learn the truth from them. Rather, he will go to the people of truth, the people of sunnah. Alhamdulillah, those who are qualified and those who are reliable, trustworthy, known for their creed and methodology, their conduct and manners, and their outwardly adornment of that knowledge in their life, and learn from them and suffice with that. As for if truth comes to you from any angle or any person or any way or any manner, when it reaches you and it's clear, it's accepted and not rejected. وهذه هي الداهية العظمى حلت بضعفاء الإيمان فإن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لما أتاه هذا اليهودي وقاله ما تقدم قبل منه ذلك لأنه حق ونبه أمته وأرشدهم إلى ما هو الصواب ولم يقل إنه يهودي لا يؤمن به فيرد قوله كلا وحاشا. So he says, Rahimahullah, this is the great disaster, calamity that has befallen those with weak faith. For whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was approached by the Jewish man, and he said what was mentioned earlier about the Safir of committing Tandit and Ifraq, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted that from him because it was the truth. And he alerted his ummah and guided him to what was correct with regards to that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, giving him sincere advice based upon the haqq that he heard from a Jewish man. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He did not say, oh, he's a Jew. He didn't even believe in me. He didn't say that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rather, he accepted the truth that he came with. So the statement should not be rejected. And if he did not say, oh, he's a Jew. He does not believe in me. He does not believe in me or believe in the haqq. So his statement should be rejected. No, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he never did that. The Shaykh closed and he says, Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqan wa zuqana tiba'ah wa arina al-batila batila wa zuqana ijtinaba. Oh Allah, show us the truth as the truth and grant us the ability to follow it, and show us falsehood as falsehood and grant us the ability to avoid it and stay away from it. So these are some of the narrations that the author he mentioned here, rahimahullah, تعالى with regards to الشرك الأصغر. So again, الشرك الأكبر هو جعل شيء من حقوق الله لغيره مما يتعلق بأصل التوحيد. The major shirk is to give some of the rights of Allah Azza wa Jalla to other than Him from that which is related to the foundation of Tawheed. And minor shirk, the shirk al-asghar, هو جعل شيء من حقوق الله لغيره مما يتعلق بكمال التوحيد الواجب. And the minor shirk is to give some of the rights of Allah Azza wa Jalla to other than Him from that which is related to the perfection of the obligation of التوحيد. Understand the difference between the two? الحمد لله الحمد الحمد لله. سؤال دعاة لي says ما الفرق بين الواو وثم في هذه الألفاظ؟ What is the difference between using واو the end and the واو and ثم and then in these phrases؟ الجواب لأن العطف بالواو يقتضي المقارنة والتسوية فيكون من قال ما شاء الله وشئت قارنا مشيئة العبد بمشيئة الله مسويا بها. Because the conjunction using wow and implies equality and making one equals. So whoever says what Allah and you willed has placed the will of the servant equal with the will of Allah, making them the same. بخلاف العطف بثم المقتضية للتبعية. فمن قال ما شاء الله ثم شئت فقد أقر بأن مشيئة العبد تابعة لمشيئة الله تعالى ولا تكون إلا بعدها. كما قال تعالى وما تشاءون إلا أن يشاء الله وما تشاءون إلا أن يشاء الله وكذلك البقية. Whereas ثم, whenever you use ثم, then implies sequence and subordination. يعني it comes after. It comes after and is under. So whoever says what Allah willed, then what you willed, has affirmed that the will of the slave is following the will of Allah. It's not equal. It's not equal to the will of Allah. It's subordinate and it's following the will of Allah and does not occur except after it. As Allah the Most High said, and you will not will unless it be what Allah wills. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ. And you are not able to will except if Allah wills. So the slave, he has a will and his will is following the will of Allah and they're not equal. So by using ثُمَّ, this creed is established, and whenever you use wow, this creed is violated. So therefore it's not allowed to use the wow and it's allowed to use ثُمَّ. But it's better to not even use that whatsoever and just to say Masha Allah. Masha Allah. Aw lawla Allah. In this manner, like this, and Allah knows best.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على السلام حي على السلام حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحكمة ضالة المؤمن الحكمة ضالة المؤمن. This is just like a proverb or a wise statement. I'm not familiar with who's the first one who made it. It's a statement that's very common and kind of like some wise words that's That's been mentioned. I'm not sure who's the first one who mentioned that or said that. الحكمة ضالة المؤمن. يعني it's something that Allah, يعني from الله from ضالة يعني something that's lost. So the hikmah, wisdom, the haqq, the truth, this is what the believer is looking for. That's the meaning. So if you have something that you're looking for, whenever you find it, what do you do with it? Leave it there? No, you pick it up. You pick it up. So wisdom, knowledge, beneficial knowledge, the haqq, the truth. This is what the believer is looking for. Al-hikmatu dhalatu dhalatu al-mu'min. Al-hikmatu dhalatu al-mu'min. The wisdom is like the lost property of the believer. Wherever he finds it, aynama wajadaha akhadaha. Aynama wajadaha akhadaha. Al-hikmatu dhalatu al-mu'min. Aynama wajadaha akhadaha. This is from the statement of Sheikh Muhammad Al-Ethiopi, rahimahullah, from the great scholars that was in Mecca here recently, and he just passed, and he, rahimahullah ta'ala, not long ago, a great scholar of hadith and a great scholar of the sunnah. He has amazing and wonderful explanations of the books of the sunnah, and also books of fiqh as well, and books of jarh al-ta'dil, books of mustalah hadith. But from the best of his works is the Sharh of Sahih Muslim and also the Sharh of Sunan An-Nasa'i, two of the most famous and beneficial works that he has. Sahih Muslim is over 45 volumes. And also Sunan An-Nasa'i is 45 volumes as well, but each volume is two volumes. So Sahih Muslim is much larger. Sahih Muslim is much larger. But the methodology that he follows is the same, and it's very amazing and beneficial. Also, he has an explanation of a Tirmidhi, which is very beneficial likewise, but he didn't complete it. And he has up to 21 volumes, and not far. There'll probably be maybe that many amount or more before that book would be finished. And also, he had started an explanation of Sunan Ibn Majah, and I'm aware of the Muqaddimah, and I wish I could get my hands on it. The actual print, and I have the PDF. It's also amazing, and his works are very, 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 very beneficial, very, very beneficial. Rahimahullah ta'ala, and great resources for students of knowledge. But after this, before we move on, we have an important discussion, inshallah, for our class tomorrow, and it's with regards to shirk, and the major shirk and minor shirk. So there are aspects where the major and minor shirk, they are similar, and there are aspects where they're different. So to identify these affairs is very important and beneficial. So there are certain aspects where the major and the minor shirk, they're similar or the same. And more points where the major and the minor shirk, they're different. Inshallah, we discuss this with some evidences and proof in our class tomorrow. So the class tomorrow, we base it upon the definition. And this will help us to understand that lesson, these definitions here. Of major shirk. The definition of major shirk, جَعْلُ شَيْءٍ مِنْ حُقُوقِ اللَّهِ لِغَيْرِهِ جَعْلُ شَيْءٍ مِنْ حُقُوقِ اللَّهِ لِغَيْرِهِ مِمَّا يَتَعَلَقُ بِأَصْلِ التَّوْحِيدِ مِمَّا يَتَعَلَقُ بِأَصْلِ التَّوْحِيدِ To give some of the rights of Allah to other than Him. From that which is related to the foundation of Tawheed. This one is considered major shirk. As for minor shirk, then this is جَعْلُ شَيْءٍ مِنْ حُقُوقِ اللَّهِ لِغَيْرِهِ مِمَّا يَتَعَلَّقُ بِهِ كَمَالَ التَّوْحِيدِ الْوَاجِبِ And minor shirk is also giving some of the rights of Allah to other than Him, but it's with regards to that which is related to the perfection of the obligation of التوحيد. So we have the base of التوحيد and we have the obligation of التوحيد. So there are rights that are related to the foundation. If they're violated, that's called shirk al-akbar. And there are rights that are related to the completion and perfection. If they're violated, that's called shirk asghar. So there's a difference between these two. So there are points where they're equal, or there are similarities, points where they have the same, where they come together, points where they come together, and then there are also points where they're different. So if we mix these things up, then we're not going to be able to see clearly, and we could easily judge one to be the other, or consider one who fell in one to be falling in the other, and he violating and transgressing, or being lenient and negligent. You understand? So to violate, for example, somebody may commit an action of minor shirk, and then someone would declare him to be outside the fold of Islam. This is called ghulu. This is going to extremes. Or someone may commit an action of major shirk with the other billah and say, oh no, he's still a Muslim, he's our brother. Right? And this is great negligence. This is great negligence with the other billah. So to be able to see these points here clearly, they come together or they're similar from this aspect, but they're different from these aspects. They're similar from these aspects, but they're different from these aspects. So inshallah, this is what we'll discuss in our class tomorrow. This is what we'll discuss inshallah in our class tomorrow. So who can repeat the definition of major shirk? Ja'alu shay'in min huquqillahi li ghayrihi. Mimma yata'allaqu bi asl at-tawhid. Mimma yata'allaqu bi asl at-tawhid. And the minor shirk, ja'alu shay'in min huquqillahi li ghayrihi. Same thing. Lakin, mimma yata'allaqu bi kamal at-tawhid al-wajib. Mimma yata'allaqu bi kamal at-tawhid al-wajib. So these are two good definitions. And there's other definitions likewise. صرف شيء من العبادة لغير الله. صرف شيء من العبادة لغير الله. This is major shirk. This is major shirk. Minor shirk has also been mentioned. That is كل ما جاء في شر تسميته بأنه شرك ولم يبلغ حد الشرك الأكبر. This is also from the definitions of minor shirk. That is every action that's been described in the legislation as being shirk, but it did not reach the level of major shirk. Then it's considered minor shirk. Like we have here, al-hadif bi-ghadillah. Right? It's called shirk, but it didn't reach that level of major shirk, so then it's minor shirk. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.